Chapter 5. Combinatorial Explosion. Combinatorial explosion has long been recognized as a central problem of AI. It was one of the topics studied at McCarthy's 1956 summer school. Attention very quickly moved to making search more efficient, for example, by building the tree along just one branch, rather than developing it level by level. This is called depth-first search, and it allows you to expand a branch until you either get a solution or are certain that you will not. If you are ever unable to move forward, you stop expanding that branch and go back up the tree to work on the next branch. The best thing about depth-first search is that you do not have to save the whole of the search tree on your system, only the branch you are working on. The worst thing about it is that if you explore the wrong branch, you may go on expanding your search without ever finding a solution. You really need to know which branch to investigate. This is what heuristic search tries to do, using experience rather than theory to decide where to search. In most cases, we cannot find heuristics that will send our search in the best possible direction. But we can often find heuristics for the particular problems we are interested in solving, although they will not always perform well. Heuristic search is such a natural idea that it has been reinvented many times over the years, but it was first applied to an AI program in the mid-1950s. Arthur Samuel, who worked for the company IBM, used it to write a program to play the game of checkers. Samuel's idea established the use of board games to test AI techniques, which is still done today. It was based on heuristic search and was the first real machine learning program teaching itself to play. The program could play quite a good game of checkers, which is incredible considering the basic computers of the time. Most importantly, it estimated how good any position on the board was for a particular player. By combining information to give the quality of a board position, it worked out how likely a player was to win. For example, the more pieces you have on the board, the better you are playing. A typical heuristic would then involve moving to the best board position. But in practice, this is not enough to win at checkers, a game played against another player whose actions you have to consider. Samuel's program guessed that the other player would always move in the worst possible way for you. This worst-case reasoning approach is called minimax search and is an important idea in game playing. It involves acting to get the highest score for yourself while imagining that the other player acts to get you the lowest possible score. This approach to heuristic search was greatly improved at the end of the 1960s with the work of Niels Nielsen's team at SRI. They developed a technique called A-STAR as part of the Shakey project, which identified some simple rules that allow us to know when a heuristic is good. Before A-STAR, heuristic search was nothing more than a guessing game. After A-STAR, it was a well-understood mathematical process. Now considered one of the basic algorithms in computing, A-STAR is widely used today for satellite navigation systems in cars. But A-STAR only leads to a solution if it uses the right heuristic and gives us no answer to the problem of how to find good heuristics for particular problems. By the 1960s, it was clear that whether a problem is undecidable or not was far from being the end of the story. The fact that a problem was decidable, according to Turing's work, did not mean that it could be solved at all in any practical way, as it might require impossible amounts of memory or simply take too long. It was becoming obvious that many AI problems fell into this group. Here is an example of a problem that shows just this point. You have four people working for you in your office: John, Paul, George, and Ringo. You need a team of three people for a particular project. Because of their characters, John and Paul cannot work together. can you find a good team? In this case, there are two solutions, either John, George and Ringo, or Paul, George and Ringo. Now, suppose we add a further obstacle. John and George cannot work together. Can we still find a team? Yes, Paul, George and Ringo. Now, if we add one final obstacle, Paul and George cannot work together, the answer to our problem becomes no. There is no team of three people that can work together. The problem we are considering is a list of n people. In the example, they are John, Paul, George and Ringo, so n equals 4, and a list of impossible pairs, for example, John and Paul, who cannot work together. We are given a number, m, and we are asked whether it is possible to find a team of exactly m people from the list, avoiding the impossible pairs. It seems easy to see the answer to this problem, and it is a simple recipe to program on a computer. But look at what happens when the numbers get bigger. If you have 10 workers and you want a team of 5, you have 252 possibilities to look at. The problem is boring, but not difficult. Now suppose you have 100 people and you need a team of 50. Then you would have to check 100 billion, billion, billion possible teams. A fast modern computer might be able to evaluate 10 billion possible teams every second, which sounds a lot until you realise that it would still need far, far more time to investigate all the alternatives than is available before the end of the universe. At present, we cannot improve computer technology enough to check all these possibilities in a sensible amount of time. This is another example of combinatorial explosion, like we saw when looking at search trees. So, although our basic approach of systematically searching through all the possible teams works in theory, it is not going to be practical. As we noted earlier, simple exhaustive search is a very basic technique. You could use heuristics or another technique that could improve your chances a bit, but in the end, you will not be able to avoid the combinatorial explosion. Any recipe you find that is sure to solve this problem is not going to be practical for most cases. This is called an NP-complete problem. A problem for which it is hard to find solutions because there are too many of them to check with an exhaustive search, but where it is easy to check whether you have found a solution. In our team building example, we can check a possible solution by simply making sure that it does not have any impossible pairs. There is one other important thing about NP-complete problems. To understand it, we need to introduce the travelling salesman problem. A man on a business trip must visit a number of cities, returning finally to his starting point. He can drive for a certain distance with his car full of petrol. Is there a way to visit all the cities and return to the starting point with the amount of petrol in his car? The problem appears similar to our team building scenario. We can solve it by listing all the possible ways between the cities and checking whether we have enough petrol. However, as you can probably guess, the number of possible ways increases quickly as the number of cities increases. For 10 cities, you would have to consider up to 3.6 million possible ways. For 11 cities, up to 40 million. So, the travelling salesman problem suffers from the same combinatorial explosion as the team building problem. They might appear to be completely different, but in fact, NP-complete problems can all easily be transformed into each other. Imagine there were a recipe that was sure to quickly give the correct answer to any team building problem. You could then take the travelling salesman problem and quickly transform it into a team-building problem, which the recipe would quickly solve. This means that if you could find a quick recipe or program for solving just one NP-complete problem, then you would have found a recipe for solving all of them. So far, nobody has found an efficient recipe for any NP-complete problem. And the question of whether they can be efficiently solved is one of the most important open problems in science today. It is known as the P versus NP problem, and you can find it everywhere – in problem solving, game playing, planning, learning and reasoning. By the end of the 1970s, the difficulty in solving these problems had led to a loss of confidence in AI, which translated into a reduction in the money available to research it. This period became known as the AI winter.